Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Great stuff from our guy Kyle Madsen right there. We were just listening to looking at the Legends video of LeBron and Stephen A. I missed Sprout wasn't feeling well last night, so I missed Steph's shot. I missed the Knicks Lakers. I missed everything that was jumping off in the NBA last night.
That Knicks Lakers game was fantastic.
I was able to, like, you know, it's obviously it's never the same live and it's never the same through highlights, but there was some. There were some big time plays in there. Yeah. I did see Jaylen though. Did see that.
Damn.
That's tough.
That is tough, man. And I think he's gonna be out on Monday, but you never know. You don't want to speculate. But that was a nasty roll. That ankle roll was tough. So they got a game tonight.
Get better.
Get well. They got a game tonight against the Clippers. I can't imagine he plays tonight.
Get well Tuesday.
Yeah. After Monday.
Yeah, take know. It. Take the weekend.
Yeah.
Take the weekend, big fella. You good. Take the weekend. You all right?
Yeah. So after I can't imagine them, him playing tonight. Because they are kind of preparing for the playoffs, I would take a cautious approach with him. In all seriousness, if I was the Knicks, no need to rush him back.
Mm-hmm.
Your top four, I think, kind of is a lock. Or maybe Indiana's creeping. I don't know. But, you know, you can take your time. And I think they will handle it that way, and he won't play on Monday. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, the New York Knicks right now, 40-22. They're that 4.5 back from Boston, 3.5 up on Milwaukee. You got a little bit of room to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your priority is your star. Your priority is the playoffs, as you just said. Your priority is the postseason. So no need to rush Jaylen back right now. No need to rush him back for a game in Sacramento, of all places. Let the man rest and get better.
Let him enjoy the Echo and Rig.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got people there. We can send them right down there.
Right there. You know,
get taken care of.
You know, have a little steak dinner, before and just, watch the game.
We got you.
Yeah.
We got you. Steph's shot also got a lot of run on social media last night. KC and I were doing the KSFM show, and I'm like seeing Bonte, Kyle, all the Warriors people, they're tweeting, oh, this is abysmal, horrendous, awful. I see the Nets are up 20 after one. I was like, you hoes are not going to convince me. You are not going to convince me that the Golden State Warriors are going to lose this game.
Nah.
And in the lead, all of it, the 20-point lead's down to 15. Mm-hmm. Steph hits like back-to-back threes, and then of course that ridiculous nonsense before halftime.
Mm.
It's like they're not losing this game. The Barclays popped.
Oh, that is. I don't know. I think it's more so Steph than just the Warriors. No shade, just saying what it is. But, man, the road pops.
Yeah.
When Steph Curry's hitting one of them threes, hits one of them night-night threes or whatever, like, you can see it, you can hear it in those crowds.
I think you're right, it's Steph.
Yeah.
Steph is different. Steph absolutely, that Steph road roar is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And it was there last night in the Barclays Center. 40 for Steph last night, by the way. On the day we had a conversation about him moving up the greatest of all time list, that man put up another spectacular performance.
40. 40 for Steph Curry. That was...
I want to play the De'Aaron Fox videos, but I don't know if they play on the stream anymore.
Well, we can try. Before we set it up and see. We got that beam money tonight.
Mm.
We got that beam money. The Kings are back home. De'Aaron Fox is back in Sacramento. And we've got Beam Money. You know who's part of Beam Money? De'Aaron Fox. Oh. They got him at 23.5 points. I'm going more. He's going to be motivated. I'm not as afraid as everybody. You know, Angry Fox. Okay, whatever. All right, whatever. He's going to get his points, though, because the team needs him to score, so he'll shoot. So I got him at more than 23.5 points. I got Harrison Barnes. 1.5 three-pointers made. I'm going less. Jonas Valanciunas, 6.5 field goals made. I think he's going to feast. I'm going more. And then Keon Ellis, 3 points, 3 pointers attempted, 5.5. I'm going more. I think he puts up like 7 three-pointers tonight. He shoots 7 three-pointers tonight. So that's the lineup. I'm going to be posting it on socials. You know, follow it if you want to, because we're going to get paid tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. And if you are getting on Prize Picks for the first time, put that promo code KIFM in there. Get $50 with that first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 whether you win or lose with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game.
Get your stuff off there. Chat, can y'all see this? Let me know if y'all can y'all see the screen.
Hey, Dr. David, crazy. You see that, Jesse? Oh, Jesse not in there. Hey, Leezy in the house. What's up, man?
Leezy here.
Where that pizza at, man?
Leave Leezy alone, man.
Come on,
let,
man.
Let Leezy live.
Come on, Rook.
Can the chat confirm that they y'all so they do see the screen?
Okay. It might have just been a glitch in the matrix yesterday.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I want to hear what I wanted to do this for. Well, I can't do it right now because Jesse isn't in the studio. I wanted to see if De'Aaron was going to cuss. It's 4 minutes. It's 4 minutes. De'Aaron talking to Sean back at the Golden One Center for the first time. Do you think De'Aaron Fox cusses?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. But 4 minutes is a long time. 4 minutes of non-cursing for De'Aaron Fox might be a lot. And he's a little comfortable with like Sean and all them. Like,
oh yeah, he's gonna cuss.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying he is?
I'm certain. That's why I won't play it, because Jesse's out taking a lap, you know, going to get snacks just to piss off Katie. So we'll just wait to run. I do want to. I admittedly bad sports talk show host. I saw the highlights. I don't have a lot to say. I didn't get to ride the wave of the Lakers Knicks game.
Oh man, it happens. Life happens. But it was a great game. Like, it was a great game. The Knicks were up by about 10 for most of the game.
Yeah.
And halfway through the fourth quarter, Lakers closed the gap. I hate to. Crypto was kind of buzzing.
It was buzzing. Okay.
Crypto was kind of buzzing.
Yeah.
Luka hit some shots.
Yeah.
I think he called somebody else out of their name on the you know, on the
Kyle Madsen special.
Yeah. It was one of those, because there were some Knicks fans sitting there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he called him out of their name after one of his threes.
Set legends to alerts like I do. You'll see it.
But it went into overtime. It was just a great game. A great game. Knicks fans were in the building. Spike Lee was there.
Of course.
So when they were doing things, you would hear them in cryptos. It's just good energy in there, man. Good game last night. Great game. Got me ready for the playoffs.
There you go. Okay. That's your dream finals right there, right?
Lakers, no, Knicks? It's not my dream finals. It is not my dream finals by any means. Okay. But taking away any kind of fandom, Knicks-Lakers would be a popping-ass finals.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
like, that would be the stars, the energy in both buildings. That'd be popping.
I do want to touch on the Draymond Green stuff that was regurgitated by Chris Broussard. And of course the Stephen A. LeBron James stuff. This all ties to the Lakers. And then Charles Barkley. I love Charles Barkley. He looked like a jackass last night. He looked ridiculous. And like, this is why I said inside the NBA can go away, because he looked dumb. And I'm gonna tell you why I think Charles looked dumb last night. However, Jesse, we were waiting for you because, well, I think De'Aaron's going to cuss. So here's De'Aaron's media availability today with the Sacramento Kings. There's Brendan, Matt. Look at the guys right there.
I'm good.
Everybody in the house.
I'm going under 2 minutes.
Brandon in the house.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What are you expecting tonight?
Oh, I mean, I expect a good basketball game.
How about from a crowd standpoint?
I mean, I saw the booze, so it is what it is.
What would you say to the Sacramento fans now that you're back in town and your message?
That bothers him.
For people that I've come across already, it's been a lot of love, and I really appreciate that. Obviously,
hold on. Okay, you catch what he's the Spurs are all in on this. He's mic'd.
Oh,
look at his jersey.
Yeah,
he got the Leezy special on. He's mic'd right there. He's mic'd. All right,
see you. Good eye.
Yeah, no. Spurs are ready for this.
I mean,
or the NBA is ready for it. Someone's ready for it because the man is mic'd.
10 years ago when I got here, so I was welcomed with open arms. So I definitely appreciate the time that I had here.
There wasn't really like a proper goodbye. What do you want, maybe Kings fans, Sacramento, maybe even this organization to know?
I mean, that I was raised here. You know, I turned from a really young man to a young man that's raising a family. And I appreciate the time that I had here. I had a lot of fun here. So it's definitely not something I take for granted.
He sounds under the weather.
The hardest part, moving. Yes. Getting accustomed to a whole new organization, coaching staff, players, learning names. That's always the worst part for me. But, I mean, having to pick up and move, you know, halfway across the country is definitely the hardest part. But other than that, I mean, this is the business that we signed up for. So, you know, you understand that happens.
Are there any misconceptions out there?
Boy, that was a lot.
Oh, I mean, for me, at the end of the day, it's still basketball. You know, you're going to play against a team that you know you've played for. So it's not. I don't know if I would say like it's something that I anticipated, but I mean, you know, it's going to happen at some point.
Is it strange being back in this building on the other side?
First thing that was strange was going to the Sawyer. I've never stayed a night there before. So that was definitely the weirdest part for me.
Is it cool having Wemby here to support you the most?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we, you know, he's what he's going through is definitely tough. But for us, we just want him to be healthy. We want him to be healthy enough to be able to get on a plane and to be able to support us as a team. That's what he wants to do anyways. So for us, it's just, you know, we want him to be, you know, as healthy as possible because blood clots could be a dangerous thing for sure.
I'm going to hit pause right there. We're at the 2-minute and 17-second mark. De'Aaron Fox has not cussed yet. There's about 2 minutes left. We're going to step out. We're going to come back. We obviously went long with Kyle. We're going to get back on track here because we got Eddie Gonzalez on the way. We got James Hamm on the way. We'll hear more from De'Aaron Fox, and we'll get into some of those other elements, those non-basketball elements from the Lakers game last night when D'Lo and Casey returned here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
There's a particular person in the chatty house that is not a big De'Aaron Fox fan.
Well... that's a funny line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she's not wrong. I don't know. Maybe he couldn't find. He could have called me. Like, he's been known to call me. I would have got him to my guy. Man, we've got to get him all taken care of.
You're right, though. That's not his number one fan.
I prolonged my normal cut an extra day because it's Mary tomorrow. Like, that's a day of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Spurs. Absolutely. Spurs is not day of treatment. Mary J. Blige is day of treatment.
Go, Mary.
Yeah.
Go, Mary.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
I can't wait to see the dance, boy.
Cleaned up, boy.
I can't wait to see the dance. I'm having the phone ready when Mary start dancing. Ah!
2 minutes left. De'Aaron Fox. Today talking to a...
For the record, I say no cursing today. I say not going
to
do it.
No cursing. He's also, clearly, De'Aaron Fox not feeling well. You could hear it in his voice. He appears to be... under the weather.
Well, take some Theraflu and get out there.
Okay, Stone Cold Kenny Caraway there.
Misconceptions out there that you've seen that you maybe want to clear up?
I spoke my piece, so I'm done talking about it. I'm excited to be here playing in front of this fan base again and see people that you know I know and love.
That was the time. He's not going to do it.
Are you happy out there? I mean, just you're beaming.
I mean, this is very.
Oh damn it! Look at Matt. Matt is still just man. Come on, Matt.
This is a very young group, and y'all been around the young people in this day and age. They could definitely put a smile on your face. So,
we talked to Keegan. He said he's excited to compete against you tonight. You have something special for him?
I don't know. I mean, Keegan probably knows all my moves. We literally spent two summers together, yeah. Playing a lot of one-on-ones. So, it's funny. They asked me who I thought would guard me. I'm like, I would assume Keegan guards me. So, but no, definitely. I mean.
That'll be fun.
I've been around him. I've seen him grow, continue to grow as a player, continue to see him become a better offensive and a much better defensive player than he was when he came in. So that's definitely an exciting matchup for sure.
He said he misses Poppy and Ray. have you replaced Uncle Keeks with the Spurs?
Anyway? Absolutely not. But all these guys, like, I think only HB and CP have kids. So, like, there's not a lot of kids kids around as far as from the player's perspective. But everybody loves the kids.
Last question right here on the left.
We've FaceTimed Keegan, so he's seen him for sure.
Yeah, you had a lot of memories in this gym. Is there a specific memory that stands out to you more than anything, or just your time being in Sac?
I mean, I think it's easily the first playoff game. I mean, you have home court advantage, you get game one. That's easily the best moment I think that I've had while I was here, and I feel like we gave a lot of people who were, like, obviously, a lot of y'all, got to see the early 2000s teams, but a lot of kids never got to see that. So just being able to give them a piece of that core memory is definitely probably on my real high on my to-do list for sure.
Good stuff from De'Aaron Fox right there. Big thanks to Sean Cunningham for having that video up in full right there. Oh, look at Matt. Oh, what a freeze frame right there. What, Matt, Matt, make this your new screensaver. Matt, I know you're watching. Make that your new screensaver on your phone right there. Look at him. Just happy. Matt, did you hug him when this was over?
I love this. Maddie McQueen.
McQueen right there.
Somebody.
Oh, just as happy as can be to see his guy, De'Aaron
Fox.
Where
is it at? Somebody said it in the chat. Oh, I can't find it. But basically, they're like, he's just enamored.
He is. He is. That boy Leezy in here with us.
Leezus, the notorious Just. What up, big dog?
What you whispering about, Leezy?
Where are we plugging?
Oh, what?
Are we lit?
I got you. I got you.
Okay. All right, rookie. See, the rookie texts me. One, I like this. The rookie's like, hey, can I get on the air?
Yeah,
Leezy, come on, man, let's rock. And now Leezy can't remember where the headphone jack is.
Go. Man, I'm
that's all right.
Ball, man.
You good? You got the fresh braids is clean today.
Hey, lined up.
Oh, it's a big day. That boy gonna be down there getting content. You getting there early tonight?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm gonna be down there. I'm gonna be asking everyone. I'm gonna be asking the question of the day: are you gonna be booing De'Aaron Fox or not?
You gotta get out there for the Fox warm up. That's early.
Oh yeah. I'll be down there on the floor.
You should be able to get in there. Cause you going in with a ticket? How you getting in? Single game?
Oh, yeah. I got a ticket. I'm going to be up in 209.
Oh, so
not talking about Stockton.
Okay, so you don't have
me up there?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Leezy, you're going to be up there with Lucanbill.
Oh, Jesus, man. Don't be up there with him.
Yeah, we way up. But it's going to be cool, man. I can't wait to get down there and get everyone else's opinion. Because we got the Chidi House. We hear people call in. But being there at the arena and hearing everybody and being live on the streets, it's a different feeling. So I can't wait.
Got to have a year to the streets, big dog. You think, man? How would you handle this?
I'm the last person to ask about this.
Well, you're the first person. I need to know now. Yeah, how are you handling this?
Okay. I think it comes down to this one question. Do you think the front office gave De'Aaron Fox enough? And I personally, you look at DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, I would say they gave him plenty. So when it comes down to booing, I'm going to be one of the people booing. But I can also understand on the other side of it, people be like, well, Fox had X amount of coaches, X amount of GMs, this, and that. But I'm like, I think he had plenty of opportunities and great players around him to be more successful. So I'm going to be in the crowd that's going to be booing. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're going to boo?
I'm booing. Okay. I'm booing.
Okay.
I might boo at the warm up. They might have to boo
him
me.
And Charlie, did you hear Charlie on the Insiders? He said he's going in.
Charlie is.
Yeah, he said he's going in. And there should be no tribute video.
Yeah.
Damn, Charlie.
He wasn't playing.
All right. That feels harsh.
Yeah, Charlie hopped in the studio.
Yeah,
he was on the mic. I got something to say.
Hold on. So Charlie just walked in.
Yeah.
during the show and said, we need to boo De'Aaron Fox?
I'm assuming he was right here. I don't know. I don't think he was over there. I think he came,
was right here.
Yeah, he came right over there into that seat and let it be known.
Yeah,
I'm booing, and we need to stop with these tribute videos. They said, what, is he retiring? What is he having a tribute video for? Charlie might come down here in just a second.
Charlie had a rough day yesterday. He just might be a little surly.
Yeah. The thing is, though,
need to get him a little scotch. He'll settle down.
Everybody gets tribute videos nowadays. I think I wouldn't go so far as to say Fox didn't deserve one. He can get a tribute video, but just anybody gets a tribute video nowadays.
I don't think that's true, is it?
It's not just anybody, but they do just kind of hand them out. Like, Fox deserves
handing
one.
Handing out tribute videos.
Hey, Kuzma, welcome back to Washington. Here's your video.
Like, Fox deserves one. Like, for instance, like, DeMar got one in Chicago.
He earned that.
Well, how did he earn it and Fox didn't? DeMar was there for 20 minutes. They got to the playoffs once, and that was it. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying, like, I understand the Charlie side of, like, all right, man, we need a tribute video for that. We could have an announcement like, hey, everybody stand up and say hi to DeMar.
Uh-huh. Everybody wave politely to DeMar DeRozan.
I remember DeMar more in Chicago than like in San Antonio. Like, I think his impact, like the highs they had on that team when Lonzo was rolling and him and LaVine were rolling, I think the highs were pretty good for them. So I think he earned a video.
I think it might also be a level of respect.
Yeah. I mean, but the precedent has been set. You know what I mean? Around the league and what goes on. So if you don't give the tribute video, it's a sign of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't intend to. Even if you're like, no, we respect everything that you did here and we love you or whatever. If you don't play the video, it's perceived as disrespect. So,
Casey, what's one of your biggest memories of De'Aaron Fox on the court?
Mm. That's a good question. Game one was insane.
Yeah, well, the Warriors.
Game one was fantastic. Game one and game four of that series,
mm-hmm.
he was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great to see.
Yeah.
Those are the first two to come to mind. So that kind of answers you. Those are the first two to come to mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, if I think a little bit more, he's got some game winners, some game tying shots there at Golden One.
He had the Chicago moment where he hit the three.
Yeah,
but
that was it.
Nice.
So like those two shots, that was in Chicago and in Orlando,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't here.
Yeah. So, but the first two is game one and game four. I mean, we were all there at Sky River Casino, and Fox was just was cooking.
Like,
he was cooking. He came down. Yeah, always shout out. He came down on the break one time and had the big tomahawk jam mm-hmm. and place blew up, you know, in there. And yep. it was really like that moment, maybe even more than game one, was like, yo, we really got one of them ones.
Mm-hmm.
We really got one of them ones. What we heard for a long time, everybody talking about Ja,
yeah.
talking about mm-hmm. Trae mm-hmm. Young and all these other guys, and now my man, he got the stage,
yeah.
and he really wanted them ones. Warriors can't do nothing with them.
That's the thing. Like, I know I come off as like a Fox hater, but during that series, like D'Lo, we've all said, he was one of the best players on the court.
Yeah.
So you can't deny that. So that was his moment for sure.
Yeah, yeah, we thought he had his moment. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what his Ja moment. We thought he had that. That burst onto the national scene. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he came out firing the next season, and it kind of dwindled down. Game one was spectacular, man.
It was absolutely
unforgettable. It killed me for a second because I'm thinking about Chicago. I'm thinking about Orlando. And then I was thinking about Minnesota. It's like, yeah, the 60 was in Minnesota. And then I realized, oh, it wasn't.
No, it just felt like Minnesota where we were at.
Yeah, because we were steps away from the Golden One Center, but couldn't be there and kept saying, should we go over there? Should we go over there? And we ultimately didn't. We wound up watching the whole thing, trying to stay warm, huddled around our phone.
Was, for me, at least, it was freezing that
night
out there.
It was awful.
I was so cold.
Absolutely awful.
You want to know something sad? So that was a game you guys were trying to get into, right?
Well, we were at a function for KSFM.
Oh, okay.
So we were at the rail yards.
Oh, that night.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that night.
That was the night
he had
60. Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
It was cold.
Yeah. I was going to say, I had a sad moment. So I think it was when the Kings were playing the Heat, the double overtime game. Mm-hmm. Me and my friend, we were ready to go. And so we're leaving. We're like, oh, this game is over, blah, blah, blah.
I was
blah,
just
blah.
About to ask. You didn't
Man.
Wow.
We're walking and all of a sudden our phone is buzzing. It was so sad. It was so sad.
Lizzie and his friend, like those people that left the Ray Allen shot, trying to get back on.
Let us in. Yeah. It was one of those moments.
Dave, what's your moment?
De'Aaron?
De'Aaron Fox.
Game one. Yeah. Game one was, I'll never forget that experience. Nah, like that was
amazing.
Yeah.
That was like electric.
Yeah.
Yeah, being there with you and Trista, the fact that they won that game, the way that they won that game.
Yeah.
Not realizing how clean of a look Steph had. Till about 4 hours after the game was over, just knowing in the moment Steph's going to get the ball and you hope it doesn't go in.
Yeah.
It's like, woo, okay, you're celebrating. And then you go home, you're kind of coming down from the night and you're watching the game back. And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Man, he had a look. And for the Kings to walk away, I mean, I thought we were going to win that series.
I thought so, too.
I absolutely thought we were going to win that series.
In that game one, I mean, he was great in the third quarter and fourth quarter. But they had the moment where Steph hits this ridiculous shot in the corner, this three that he's in the corner, mm-hmm. falling towards the baseline. Yeah. It must have gone 35 feet in the air and just dropped right down into the net.
Didn't hit the rim or nothing.
No, and the place was buzzing. We talk about the Steph buzz. The place was buzzing. Like, obviously, a bunch of Kings fans in the playoffs there. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, groans of, like, oh, no, my gosh. He hits that shot, and I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe the Kings come right back down. They push the ball down the court, and Fox hits this somebody makes the extra pass to Fox at the top of the key, mm-hmm. and he hits, a walk-in three, and the place just erupts again. That moment, he made everybody forget about what they had just seen. And like, oh, no, this dude going toe-to-toe with Steph. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go, man. And, it was great. It was a lot of great moments with De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not really of the I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging you or anybody. But I'm not booing. He had a lot of great moments. And the greatest moment in the last 20 years has a lot to do with him. Like you said, that game won and – But we had TV stuff to do, and we asked the ushers, like, yo, can we go outside real quick just to get the vibes? And, like, man, it was so happy.
Yeah.
So euphoric.
Yeah.
Out in the Doco area after that game, man. And he's a big reason why that happened, man. So,
yeah. Shout out to the chat. They had a good one in here. Clippers versus Kings. That was a good one. That was a classic.
Oh, man.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the great games I've ever seen.
You know,
that wasn't here though.
No.
We're just talking generic. Okay. Just generic. Yeah.
You know, one thing that is a little frustrating about Fox.
Or not like, generic, but not. It's just not. I thought we meant at the Golden 1 Center, but yeah, obviously that one's iconic. Yeah,
just Fox moments in general.
Yeah.
But one thing that's frustrating whenever I think about Fox, I always remember, but right before we drafted him, the video of him at Kentucky with Bam, and they had just lost in March Madness or whatever, and he was crying and this and that, mm-hmm. and I remember going into that draft, I was like, man, that's somebody I want on my team, someone that's passionate about the game and that's just really into it like that. And it's really frustrating because I don't know what happened to that guy, because near the end he was just always just apathetic. I didn't see the vocal leadership. It didn't seem like he was the same guy near the end.
No, you're not wrong about that at all.
Yeah,
I mean, that was one of the signature videos of college basketball that season.
Yeah.
Was, you know, him and Bam crying in the locker room after that game. And I don't know if maybe he even looked at that moment and said, I'm trying to figure out why. I don't know. But like, I don't ever want to be that inconsolable again. Because you're right, he was never like that in the NBA.
Yeah, he was so passionate. Always, yeah.
Well, he's also a kid. Like,
yeah.
Like, not, I mean, not yeah. to, like, he was essentially a child.
Yeah.
And his first, 6 years here, 5 years here, mm-hmm. the only thing that's going to make you cry is Luke Walton and Buddy Hield.
Well, Luke Walton will make anybody cry.
Well, damn.
And trading him on, Shumpert.
Yeah. Hey, Purple Talk, Shump.
But it's not even the crying, though. It's if you watch, if you just pull up a highlight package of De'Aaron Fox at Kentucky, there is emotion all the time.
Yeah.
Like he's dunking, yelling, flexing, and he very rarely did that in the NBA.
Yeah, there was no dunk strikes back
very
then.
Very rarely. And just his the emotion, how emotionally invested. Like you said, he's an 18-year-old kid, so it is a little different. But how emotionally he was invested in all these games, outwardly, because I don't want to say just because he didn't do that doesn't mean he didn't care, he wasn't invested.
Yeah.
But outward emotion, he just didn't get that in the NBA a lot from him. It was always like he'd hit the three or he'd get a dunk and, you know, just trot on back down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong. That works too. But I gravitate towards, that's why we love Malik Monk, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he'll give you the outward outburst of emotion.
Yeah.
And Fox did that in college, but he didn't really do that in the pros.
Do you feel like he just maybe matured out of that? Like you said, he didn't want to be that way. Or do you think maybe all the losing from the early stages of his career kind of broke him? Because that's always a topic in the NBA. Like when it comes to tanking and things like that, you don't ever want to like develop a culture of losing. And because I remember like I was used to be a big Joel Embiid guy. And during the start of the process, people would say that all the time. Like, you can't keep losing. You're going to break these players mentally, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel like that kind of happened to Fox maybe here? He just was worn down from all the losing, and when he got an opportunity, he was ready to go?
I don't think it broke him, but I think it changed him.
I think it changed him. I agree.
Yeah, I think when you say you broke someone, that's pretty strong.
He lost his smile.
Kevin Herter had a nice three last night.
Who?
Kevin Herter.
Who? Oh, good.
Yeah, so I don't know what his point total was, but it was on Inside the NBA.
Well, good for him. That's big time. It's the first time I've heard his name in months.
Yeah.
He had 23 the other night.
I'll take your word for it.
Who they play against?
I don't know.
I do think losing, hiring, firing, constant. Yeah, like I feel like, again, maybe, I don't think the word is break, but like, does it numb you? But yeah. Maybe that's not. But I do think it changes you a little bit.
Definitely. It seems like it took a toll on him. It definitely does.
And I don't fault him for that. Yeah. I don't fault him for that at all.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all, man. He went through, like you said, a lot of losing, a lot of change here, a lot of this is the big leagues type moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that's something that you can't have that boyish exuberance in these situations all the time when you're dealing with that stuff all the time. So, like you said, I break you is different, but it definitely could change your outlook on how you approach emotion and just approach how you want to show yourself.
So earlier you guys were asking me if I'm going to boo or not. I already said I'm going to boo. One big thing I'm a little upset about Fox was the timing of it. You know, he talks about, oh, I want to go to a winning culture. I want to go to a different team, blah, blah. When he left, Doug Christie was doing pretty good. The team seemed remotivated because there wasn't a lot of maybe Mike Brown guys. And it seemed like the team was heading in the right direction. So I think maybe that might be another thing that's adding to why so many fans are frustrated, because it seemed like through all the chaos, we were going in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe there's a feeling he abandoned Doug a little bit, and obviously Doug is our guy, and
you know
Kings fans are going to ride with DC forever.
That's right.
From De'Aaron's perspective, and maybe he's like, you guys keep fooling me with this. Yeah. You're not fooling me anymore. This is I am in a window of time where I have I'm in a window of time where I have leverage, and I'm going to attempt to utilize that now.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a call De'Aaron makes on his own. I think that's a call De'Aaron makes with his family. I think that's a call De'Aaron makes with his team. And that's what they did. I'm not trying to start. I don't know that I fault him for that. I don't know that I fault him for, you know, feeling like you're going to put like, so what if we are really good with Doug? He's an interim head coach. I'm supposed to trust you're going to hire him. Like, I'm stalling him out a lot. I don't fault him for that.
Do you think he still asks out if he's having a good year and he's qualifies for the all NBA thing or whatever, the bigger contract?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. No, you don't.
Exactly.
You don't opt out of $100 million on principle or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand on my principle. I'm going to sign this $100 million, this extra $100 million contract first. Then I'm going to stand on my principles and tell him to get me out of here.
But that's the hard thing. I just feel like it's always changing. It's always changing. One minute, if he would have been all NBA, oh, yeah, I'm going to stay. I'm going to get my money. But, oh, we're doing bad, and I don't like this and that, so now I'm ready to leave.
Well, he didn't say that, though.
He didn't say that. You're right.
He didn't say that. He said he didn't sign the contract because of the money, which is what we said when people were first, look at what happened. Like, no, this financially, this doesn't make sense. Of course he's going to do it this way.
You know, wait and get your beer.
Never faulted him for that. Never will fault him for that. Never will fault any player for that. That's the move. That is the structure that the NBA put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I can benefit from that, I'm going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
At least as best as I can.
Yeah.
Like I've been saying, the thing that I guess confuses me is – It's been presented by De'Aaron when he speaks as if the Mike Brown thing at the very least was the last straw.
Yeah.
Right? But it's always brought up as once they fired Mike Brown, they knew what it was. I didn't want to play for another coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have kept Mike Brown and continued to lose, what would have happened then? That's what I nobody knows.
And we don't
that.
Know
that's
the answer
I, that's
to
what
that.
I wish somebody would have asked them. Like, is it as simple as if Mike Brown is here, are you staying?
Yeah.
Are you signing the extension? Because.
And that might not even be something he can answer.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? Because I would assume his response would be, well, like, I want to be winning. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of reporters or writers, or maybe even podcasters, are leaning heavy on the Mike Brown thing when the fact is it could have been a lot of different scenarios that led to this. I think you used I think your terminology was the right one, the straw that broke the camel's back, or the last straw, or whatever you just said a second ago.
Well, I was saying they're leaning heavy on it because he keeps bringing that up as the moment.
Because it's the one you can bring up. You can't, because that was reality. Mm. You can't bring up, I mean, I guess he could go, yeah, the fact is, I mean, Mike Brown getting fired was the last straw. But if they had kept Mike Brown and we kept losing, I would have wanted to leave too. Like, that's a hard. I don't know how you do that if you're him.
What if
is it Uchi or one Mike?
No, like it might be, but like I don't know how. Like if you're him, you go about addressing that unless you're asked it very specifically. I don't know how you volunteer that if you're De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I don't know how these interviews.
Maybe he needs to sit down with Taylor Rooks. I don't know.
I mean, and I don't even think that's like the worst thing in the world. But like, I think that would be my follow up to him. Like, we keep bringing up the Mike
specifically.
Brown.
What I'm De'Aaron Fox. You're asking me what's the follow up question?
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Brown getting fired was the last straw.
Okay,
Kenny.
Okay, so if Mike Brown were to stay, would you have stayed? If they didn't fire Mike Brown, would you have stayed? And sign the extension.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, nobody.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, because I feel like De'Aaron would have said, yeah, like if we were winning. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that, they weren't. That's why Mike was fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike wasn't fired when they were 15-15. That's not even winning, but it's not losing either. Mm-hmm. Mike wasn't fired when they were 16-15. Mike was fired when they were 5 games under .500. Coming off a brutal loss, a brutal fifth straight loss
against a
Pistons team that we still thought at the time was bad and ended in the worst way imaginable.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just that the only reason I would ask that question is because that's what keeps getting brought up. Like he doesn't. Maybe he alludes to a little bit, but he doesn't talk that much about the dysfunction.
Perhaps the toughest part is De'Aaron bears responsibility for that loss. He bears a lot of responsibility, not him solely.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly bears responsibility for that final play.
He bears responsibility for the position they were in at 13-18.
Sure, they all do. Yeah. Yeah, they all do. De'Aaron doesn't exclusively.
Yeah.
But that final play, that was De'Aaron and Jaden.
But even he doesn't exclusively, and that's not necessarily fair, what I'm about to say, mm-hmm. but you're the guy.
Yes.
You're the guy. They're about to give you $250 to $300 million.
Yes.
Yes, you bear the responsibility of making sure your team isn't 13.
That's why Mike Brown would go at him all the time to set the tone.
Let's try a different approach when we get back.
Oh.
Because I just, I just saw that. We'll come back. Eddie Gonzalez coming up in about 30 minutes. Hang out a couple more minutes, Lizzy. I want you to be a part of this conversation. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
All right, we're back here hanging out. Our man Lizzy Scorsese with us here in studio. So you guys had just made a point. Obviously, we're talking about De'Aaron Fox because we're contractually obligated to, because he returns to Sacramento tonight. At the Golden 1 Center, King Spurs, Eddie Gonzalez coming up here in about 30 minutes. James Hamm, final hour of the show. You were just talking about, like, you're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy preparing to, you know, offer. If because Casey asked the question, has been asking the question all day. If Mike Brown stays, does De'Aaron wind up asking out in the offseason? Does he wind up, you know, staying if they don't fire Mike Brown and all of this? And you talk about bearing responsibility for the team's, you know, five games under 500 record, what happened in Detroit the night before Mike was fired, all of those different things. What if there's a scenario where Mike Brown stays and the Kings don't want to re-sign De'Aaron to that contract?
Mm. Oh.
That's not an element that we discuss very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a scenario where the Kings maybe weren't super keen on the idea of paying De'Aaron Fox a top-tier NBA contract like that?
Do you think, are you saying that based off, like, mm-hmm. them, like, at the end of the season, assuming they wouldn't have had a good year, a playoff year,
and let's say reconsider this,
it? Only ask because yeah. they offered the contract. You know what I'm saying? They already said we
they paid him.
Yeah, but they
maybe
offered
they
him
change. Maybe are you saying it changes?
They offered
if they
him
have a bad season.
So I believe they offered him. I think the one that they could offer him is the three.
Mm-hmm.
Or the I don't remember if it's the three or the four, but
I think it was the three.
Three, okay. It was the three.
So sure. that's what.
Well, no, I think it's the four because okay. he's not a rookie.
Okay, so the four. Yeah. So they can offer him the 4 year. Mm-hmm. The off season comes, they can offer him the fifth year,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's another reason that you don't do this, and then the season is played out,
mm-hmm.
so you have another year where you're like. All right, he was kind of hot and cold. And again, we're going to work under the year just kept progressing the way it was. Even if we'll say the Kings got to 500 somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the year, as far as De'Aaron Fox, was just progressing as it was progressing with him here.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario where the front office is like, man, do we really want to do 290 for a guy who leads us to a 500 record?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think, go ahead, my bad.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there's a possibility of it, but I think they would have offered him whatever they could to keep him here.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, but you had thoughts, Lee. My bad.
I'm just trying to think about the money and how it all adds up, because
I don't think it's a given was my point. Like, I don't know that it's a given, and I wouldn't fault the front office for that either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the front office is bad, but I don't think I would fault them for going, I don't know, man.
He's had plenty of opportunities. This is
talking 290.
Yeah,
we're talking 290. That's our mark. This is our guy. Is De'Aaron? Do we all feel De'Aaron Fox is a 5 year $290 million player?
I don't. So people always yelling me about this. Last year he had his career year. He put up his best numbers, and the team didn't even make the playoffs. Do you really want to pay a guy like that? I mean, De'Aaron's been around forever. He's not really a great three-point shooter. It's a three-point league. He's not even that great of a free throw shooter as well. We talk about free throws all the time about this team. Mm-hmm. And going forward, I mean, the league is full of great point guards. I'm not trying to dump on Fox. I hope it doesn't come across like that.
But no,
I
feel you
like
hate him.
No, you're beating. You've been beating his ass for the last 45 minutes.
No, my first thing I said, hey, what's one of your favorite Fox moments?
That's a good point.
You never even answered.
Yeah. I didn't. Man, Casey's on to me.
You said the one. Oh, yeah, because you were like, no, this one hurt. It's because your buddy couldn't get into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had nothing to do with Fox.
Yeah,
I think DeRozan played well. Fox didn't even play that game.
Oh, yeah, he did. It was a great Kings moment. That was a great game. Game of the year.
Fox was out.
Man, that was my favorite game.
Lazy's hilarious.
Fox was out. He didn't even play.
Yeah. Yeah. But going back to D'Lo's question, I wouldn't pay him that money. And historically, I don't think the Kings really given out big contracts like that. And just based on like his recent history, like I said, you missed the playoffs last year. You got knocked out of the first round. Is that really a guy you want to go forward with when there's so many other great point guards you can like try to get or even draft or players you can go after? There's a kid in the draft right now. His name's Jeremiah Fears. I really want him, but also I'm tired of us drafting point guards. So,
oh, you don't have any point guards now.
Yeah, no. Well, hey, you got Devin Carter. All gone. Carter's out there somewhere.
Yeah, in Stockton.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's with the Kings now. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know where he's at. Malik's out tonight. We know that.
Yeah, that's rough.
He'll be listed as day-to-day starting tomorrow. Kings, of course, have a back-to-back on Sunday. Game against the Clippers, game against the New York Knicks on Monday. Good stuff, Leezy.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate you, my man.
You guys let me
get back to get back to work, man. You come in here every Friday. We'll make this a thing. Come hang out with us.
Yeah, come in here every Friday.
No, do not tell that man to bring
it. What are we talking about, man? Hey, this is like three weeks in a row. What are we talking about?
Wait, real quick. The only reason I didn't bring pizza, I was taking pictures for our guy, Blake the Beast, for his big fight. So I was taking photos.
I'm mad I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, Blake definitely ain't eating pizza. He got to get to death. Blake, no pizza unless you win, bro.
I'm mad I missed that. I got it. Hey, let him know he need to have one more of these things, and then you know we can get this thing popping off.
Man. I'll text him. I got
you. Just tell him to make sure it's not a night of a concert or anything like that.
We'll Mary's here. Well, sorry.
Good. Yeah, sorry, Blake. You versus Mary J. Blige. Blake, you lost. But good luck. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask. So, you know, we've talked about, I think, and this is where I said people getting a little distracted.
Mm.
Because we're talking about all this stuff with the front office as opposed to, and you know how I like to go about it. All right, I understand all that. I understand, hey, you didn't get Fox, this wing player, and all that. I get good. You're 13-18. You lost five in a row at home.
Mm-hmm.
You've already, now it comes out, there were multiple. Fox might have been a one-man wolf pack with the people who wanted Mike Brown around. The team has voiced to you in the offseason. People from the team have voiced to you. They're not feeling Mike Brown. Now it's showing in the locker room and on the court.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox has said what he said about Mike Brown. I ask again for everybody, what are you doing in that situation? You firing Mike Brown, knowing that it might lose you De'Aaron Fox, or are you going to just keep Mike Brown around and it gives you a chance, I guess, because there's no guarantee, but it still gives you a chance to keep De'Aaron Fox?
So my feeling is you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because someone's asking out. And if it's not De'Aaron, it's someone else. Mm. And if it's not De'Aaron and Mike Brown is still here, it might be multiple other people.
Mm.
Could be DeMar, could be Domas, could be Domas and DeMar, could be Domas, DeMar, and someone else.
Mm.
And now you have Domas and DeMar unhappy, and you have De'Aaron Fox do 5 years, $290 million.
Hmm. Yeah.
If this was like, you had a lot of crappy scenarios in front of you. The Sacramento Kings may have just picked the best one that they could have.
Hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I was interrupting you.
No, I think they picked the best one that they could have, and they went the direction of let's just continue to try to win. Like if our move is lateral, it's lateral. We believe we're better at the coaching position. If we can bring in a scorer, the likes of Zach LaVine, like let's do that and let's try to tool up this roster as best we can. They believe they did that with Laravia. They absolutely did it with Jonas Valanciunas. And that's where we are.
Mm. The other aspect of this that we didn't talk about, I don't know which article this was in, but De'Aaron Fox making it perfectly clear, there were no list of teams. There was one place I wanted to go.
Yeah.
There was one place I wanted to go. And
literally a tweet that I put out. Word for word.
And people talking about, like, tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kings had no leverage in this situation. The Kings had to get what they could get, it feels like. But maybe there's more to it. But people talking about San Antonio, and you got Rich Paul involved and all this other stuff. Why would San Antonio give up Stephon Castle if they don't want to?
Mm-hmm.
There is no list of teams. There are no other options. He wants to go to San Antonio. He's made it clear. And I know there's the whole thing about Denver trust to request a trade and all this other stuff. Damian, we talked about this months before all this went down.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio specifically. That didn't just come out of nowhere. Like, people were like, no, San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't come out of nowhere. So I'm not saying he requested anything. I'm not saying that. But somehow word had gotten out that San Antonio was a destination for him months before all this happened. So if everybody knows that, Kings were kind of like in the end, to your point as well, trying to salvage this season in some type of way for the second time now. First it was during the coach firing. Now because the star player wants out. Yeah, you got to kind of do what you got to do. You got to get what you can get, almost.
Yeah, there's multiple different directions you could have gone with that. You would have had to find a team who was willing to take the risk and have De'Aaron Fox for a year and a half. You would also have to been comfortable pissing off Rich Paul. So, you know, if you're comfortable doing those things, you might have more leverage. The problem with the first one is, that team might not have existed. That's the other part of it. Like, would I'm just saying, Toronto. Yeah, we'll take no, we'll try it. No, we'll do it. New Orleans. Yeah, no, we'll try it. We'll do it. I don't. If that team doesn't exist, that scenario doesn't exist. How many teams out there are looking for De'Aaron Fox with the idea of, all right, we're cool. If we can't, we're going to take the gamble. We're going to attempt to win them over. We're cool if we don't. But if we do, we got to make sure we got $290 million to pay him. Or convince him to take whatever we're willing to pay him, whatever that conversation winds up being. If you're San Antonio, no different than if you were the Indiana Pacers and Pascal Siakam. There was no if. We're going to trade for you. We're going to offer you 5 years, $290 million. Are you comfortable with that? Yes? Come on down. We're going to make this deal for you right now. That's it.
Not to mention the team out there, say Toronto or whatever. Not to mention, we're going to give you one or two of our best prospects in draft capital. And we're not sure, number one, we want this guy, or number two, we're going to be able to sign him long term. The hell did you think they were supposed to get? Like, the more it comes out, the more the story comes out. The more the story comes out.
No, I already corrected it. No, Dwight, we moved on to the next play. I went no huddle. No, we need that. That's got to be on screen, man. Come on, man.
I went no huddle.
Sorry, timeout was called.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.